Welcome back to the training center with Dr. Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. As we continue the culture of honor, we're so elated that as we're embracing the mindset of the wealth mindset of the culture, chapter 5, we're understanding principles about handling wealth, managing wealth for the kingdom of God, and being stewards of the wealth. And how important it is to have this foundation before we get wealth. Millionaire status, billionaire status, even just being a 100,000 air status, if we can use that word, takes a great deal of knowledge of wealth, not only to get it, but to keep it and manage it and to make it grow. To use it for the God purpose in which God intended for it to be used. These things must be clearly understood and defined in the heart of every believer and individual so that he would not self-destroy himself or herself in the process. There are other things like pride, proud look, high-mindedness, spirit of selfishness. Those things can take root within your spirit, your mind, or your soul, and begin to contaminate the whole purpose of why, and the means of why wealth is good, money is good, and transform it into an evil substance because of the heart. So as we go through the process this afternoon, talking about how God dealt with Abraham, and we already identified that Abraham was already rich when God called him, but dealing with the four keys to new freedom, which is on page 123, is where we're going to start picking up at the right close at 122, page 122 at the bottom is where we're going to pick up in the last second to the last paragraph. Where it says, this is quite a hello, how are you? Up front, God makes it clear that he was going to transform Abraham's life from something that he thought was pretty good to something he could never fathom. This awakened encounter Abraham is having with God is so not unusual, I would say, but because God did talk to Adam and Eve, but God reappearing to bring forth a next phase of raising up a people who would serve him, a people he chooses to flow through. In doing so, he begins with Abram, and begin to reveal himself and at the same time, give him divine direction, divine instructions of what he must do, of what God wants him to do. But Abraham must make the decision to choose the choice of God. And this is a very vital statement that you must be willing to choose the choice of God. Because God has chosen you. This is why you're in this school. As a daughter of destiny, as a man of purpose, therefore you must focus in, pay attention, and observe those leaders he's put in your life, your man of God, your woman of God, and other leaders that he's inspired you to observe and learn, not just participate, but learn, watch, observe, that you may cultivate the culture, that you may cultivate the mindset that the leader has as he followed God, divine instructions to lead you. This is very important. So God says to Abraham, who is, again, as we have foresaid, that he's already rich to a certain level. But God is getting ready to take him to a whole nother dimension, to a whole nother lessons that he had never experienced. He's about to face encounters and challenges at a whole nother level that he probably had never had before. But they all are testing marks, self-discipline marks, to prepare him for his destiny, his purpose. And this is why it's important. You're being prepared for your destiny and purpose, and therefore there are certain things you must experience, you must be open to, so that it can develop you and bring you into that fullness of understanding or consciousness of how to obey God in this wealth mindset. He said in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he says, in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God reveals purpose. He reveals purpose before process. He revealed purpose, the end result, before the beginning and before you go through processing. Here he tells Abraham, and this is number one, so you can highlight it, that through you, Abram, all the families are in you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. That's a powerful responsibility. But Abraham must choose the choice. And how do we know that Abraham chose the will of God? As we are now further down through years, and Abraham obeyed God. He obeyed the divine instructions, and that's how we know Abraham chose the will of God. You may be walking different in your family life right now. Many people in your family have not chose to go to the church you're going to, or sit up under the leader you're sitting up under, or hear the truth of the gospel that you're hearing. And so therefore, you must be willing to understand that sometimes God uses a different path to bring forth different leaders at different seasons to bring about his will in the earth realm. So don't be moved because you may be taking a different path in your family and following someone whom they may be very critical of. Sometimes the assignment means to do something different beyond denomination, traditions, and customs, or rituals. But choosing a path that brings you to the enlightenment and the purpose of fulfilling the assignment that God has placed on your life. This is what Abraham was being tested. This is what he's being called out to move into another dimension, an unfamiliar territory that brings him into the fullness of purpose, of a design of God playing for his life. This is what it says. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul's tie us to the same promise. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. He wrote in Galatians that if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise that was given to Abraham through your life. He says here that we are connected through the promise that God gave to Abraham. Therefore, if Abraham, we are seed and heirs of Abraham, mean we are in succession, mean we have the same purpose, the same drive, the same destiny that Abraham had. And God is continuing to bring us into the fulfillment of the promise that through us, through you individually, many families of the earth shall be blessed, not only spiritually, but financially. They shall receive an inheritance that rightfully belongs to the child of God. You are the carrier of that new information, that new anointing, a fresh anointing, to bring your family into a wealth position, a promise. One scripture said it. He said that You allowed them to ride over our heads, but you brought us out into a wealthy place. I believe, and I am convinced, that our connection with Apostle Thompson is that direction of Abraham to bring us into a wealthy place, to bring out the potential, the ability that you possess, the calling that's on your life, to bring you out into a wealthy place, that you have the balance to manage the spiritual aspects, giftings and callings on your life, and yet able to balance the financial provisions that the Lord provides and gives and places in your hands to fulfill that vision. You must have them both. You must have them both. Both of them are spiritual. They have spiritual purpose. And therefore, you and I are responsible for learning and becoming skillful in both realms, the spiritual and the natural, to fulfill our assignment. Abraham was skilled in the natural, but he didn't understand the spiritual. His lessons of life would teach him to trust God, to obey God, to follow the leading of the voice of God. And we know he did, because the evidence is clear that we're the seeds of Abraham today. This is what the author says. Though your life through your life, also all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is what you are carrying in your DNA. That is what you are carrying in your father's name and in your identity as a child of the Most High God. It's through you, through me, again. We are carrying that DNA of Abraham, the promises of God. Not even more so than Abraham, we're carrying the DNA of Jesus Christ, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ, the word, the name of Jesus. We're carrying all these powerful, powerful gifts, callings that God has placed upon our life, anointings that God has placed upon our life. And we shouldn't in no means be poor, walking in lack, in survival mode, not having enough. But we should be living the John 10:10 life, that he has come that we may have life and have it more abundant. These things must be clearly understood in the school of training, in ministry. You must develop to come to the revelation. No matter where you are today, no matter what you've been facing, no matter what your financial situation look like, you are Abraham's seed. And coming into the revelation that you are Abraham's seed brings you into empowerment. It brings you to the awakening. It brings you to the stirring up of realizing, I need to go to the next level. I need to put myself in a position of being at the next level of what God has called me to do. The assignment of God need to be complete in my life. So I'm encouraging you right where you are to move to the next level. Let this word impact you. Let this word empower you to move to the next level. Now let's go also to page 123. And let's note four keys to new freedom. Four keys to new freedom. So there are four key aspects to the process that God began with Abraham in Genesis 12. The first aspect is Abram's name. Underline that. That is number two. The first aspect, or the first key to Abraham's training, is God dealing with his name. His name also deals with his identity. So God deals with his name. The first aspect is Abraham's name. Underline that, because that's number two answer. So we focus on the fact that Abraham means father of many nations. But it's important to see that Abram means exalted father. Exalted father. So Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham by God, was already recognized, identified as a father, an exalted father. But also he recognized that Abraham was childless. So how could he be, by identity, an exalted father, a father of many nations, when he doesn't have any heirs? This is where God always have a plan. His identity revealed that you are, even with the absence of not having physical children, you have been identified in your spirit, in your destiny, as a exalted father and the fathers of many nations. You've been called to it. Many of you now are listening, and you're not there yet. It has not yet manifested. But you have a prophetic spoken word over your life that the Heavenly Father shall bring to pass in your life through your obedience. Through your obedience. Abraham is, even though he doesn't have it in the natural, but he is in his identity. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been declared blessed of the Lord. You have been declared by God according to the word that you are healed. You are delivered. You are whole. See, those things, even though you may be having encounters that may speak opposite of the declaration or the decree over your life, you are your decree. You are what has been proclaimed. And so no matter what process you have to go through, whatever you're being tested with, you shall come out to fulfillment of your identity. This is vital. This is powerful, man. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Abraham is an exalted father. Number three is identify. An exalted father is not just a father. Abraham was not just a regular guy. His very name revealed that he was willing to take on a higher position with more responsibility than an average father. An exalted father is one who is willing to take on more responsibility and take a position of more responsibility than an average father. I love it. I love it. That's number three. One who's willing, exhorted father, is one who's willing to take on more responsibility than the average father will. Abraham became the father of many nations. That is a greater responsibility than just having one or two children. A father of many nations. That was the guy God was working with, the exhorted father. Similarly, those of us who are taking strides to understand and carry the anointing and the revival that has happened today need to understand that God has asked us to take on a greater level of responsibility than the average person. That's what you're called to do. That's what I'm called to do. To take on this revival of winning souls, getting the gospel out, establishing people in the work of the kingdom, and releasing them to the work of the kingdom. This is what it's all about. Taking that responsibility at a higher level of giving up the pleasure times to be in the zone with God, to be in the prayer closet with God, to be in the word with God, to be in the meditation with God, to be where God wants us to be on the assignment, to bringing our families into that assignment. This is where you and I have to spend quality time. Getting up early in the morning, sometimes staying up late at night, all through the day meditation, having our mind fixed on the things of God. When we do these things, we are raising a generation and a culture that understands the will of God, their purpose, and their identity in the earth realm. They will cause from generations to generations to flourish, to have dominion, to rule in the earth realm. It must continue, and it must continue through you and me. You and I must continue this work to keeping the next generation empowered with the things of God. Here's number four. Understanding this responsibility is what shapes us into people who are willing to follow God to a place whose builder and maker is God. Understanding this responsibility is what shapes us and us into the people who are willing to follow God. This is vital. The conditioning, the breaking process, the mindset change, the shifting of the paradigm of ideals, to releasing the walk away from religious rhetoric, foolishness, just man-made theories, to walk in the truth, to come into alignment with the will of God, to the Ephesians 4:11, 16 verse, to come into an alignment with the purpose. That is the breaking of the mindset. It's the condition of the mind that God is real, God is true, and every other man is a liar. Come into that revelation, totally convinced of the will of God. When you and I walk into this arena, totally convinced of the will of God, then everything changes. Everything changes. And this is important why you must stay connected. It's important why you must continue to come to the table and eat and keep your feet up under the table, because these are the things that help you change the mindset to understand the purpose of God and why every dime and every dollar that God gives you and every thousand and every million that God gives you has a divine purpose, has a divine purpose and will of God attached to it, that you and I must clearly understand the will of God for money, with money, and how to manage it for the kingdom of God. Let's go on. That's number four. You see, the second aspect of the process for Abram is the first thing God said to him. And I want you to hear this as though God is saying it to you. He said, Abram, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your country. This is talking about dealing with gut-wrenching. You're talking about dealing with mind-blowing, mind-shocking. God, you're. I thought you would do it here. I thought whatever you want to use me, you'll use me among my own family, among where I'm familiar, where I'm comfortable being, where people know me. But see, change really brings about change. When you really change, it brings about change. And sometimes dire change that brings separation between you and loved ones, you and your familiar culture, you and your familiar environment, it brings about change. Let's go on and see what he says here. He says, Abraham, I want you to leave your family. That's number five. God says to Abraham, I want you to leave your family. You have to leave your country. Leave your country, Abraham. This is what he says, leave your country. In other words, God says, I want you to leave your land. I want you to leave your territory, your geography, a geographic. I want you to leave the limitations that you have come to accept as your container, your security, your realm of comfort and influence. My goodness. You talk about rooting up to leave the things that you are familiar with, to follow a God you just met, to follow the voice of God that has shaken you from the very core of your soul. And to uproot yourself, to leave New York to move to Louisiana to be with Apostle, to leave Oklahoma and come to Louisiana to be with Apostle, a one of the 12, or whatever ministry God has called you to leave that state, to come and to drop everything and say, I just believe that the leading of God, God is leading me to be here. I have to be here. To hear the summons of God, summoning you to obey, to drop everything, to come into alignment with Him. This is a powerful, powerful time. And a conviction that one must have to be totally persuaded to follow. God says to Abraham, I need you to leave your country. Now, again, we identified Abraham had land, he had cattle, he had men. So he had territory, he had possessions, he had property. And yet God tells him, take everything you got, Abraham, and go. Leave your country to a land that I'm going to show you. My God, your calling, your anointing, many times will lead you out of the comfort zone of what's familiar. Things you haven't done before, places you have not gone before, to get to know things and know, acquire knowledge that you didn't have before. These are things that shift you as a Christian, as a believer. It marks you as a believer. And so you have to be willing at the point in your life that I'm going to make this shift. I'm going to make this change. Because this shift and change is going to bring me into better. It's going to bring me out of the place of not enough into a place called more than enough. It's going to bring me out of a place called limitation to a place of no limits. It's going to bring me from a place of delay to a place called unstoppable. But there's a process, and there's a price that must be paid. That process is you must obey God. You must obey the voice of God. You must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you must be open to new information. You must be open to change. You must be open to following, serving the one who God's told you to follow. You have to be open to it. Apostle once said to me, he says, the way to the King's palace is always through the servant's quarter. I believe that. I've taken that road. It has brought me to places of exalted places. Because I was willing to drop titles, drop the idea that I'm a pastor and I have people following me, to come to the place where I was willing to follow someone else, to submit to an authority of another leader, as an apostle, as Apostle Thompson. You must be willing to submit to your leader. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. That example of stewardship, the example of servanthood, must be exemplified in your walk, in your life. Not for what you're trying to get, but for what you're trying to become. Is what God has placed and called upon your life. This is where you must station yourself and position yourself. And always remember, God does not exalt titles. He exalts servants. If you learn to serve, God will exalt you. Abraham, number one, let's deal with your name. Let's deal with your identity. We must begin there. You're the father of many nations. You're an exalted father, taking on more responsibility than any other father would take upon. Growth demands that you take on responsibility. Expansion demands that you take on more responsibility to become more accountable, more dedicated to what you're called to do. To be on point, to be clear, to be specific. All of these things will come to you as you move forward. They will develop on the inside of you as you keep moving, as you stay hungry and stay thirsty for the things of God. These things will continue to thrive in you. You'll get there. Just keep moving. Then secondly, he said, Abraham, I need you to leave your country, which is the second aspect, and also is number five as well. I want you to mark those five things. Make sure you have them five things down so we can continue to stay focused on where we're going. Let's look at number three. In a move of God, one of the reoccurring messages to hear is that God wants us to leave our comfort zone. God wants us to leave our comfort zone. This is vital. This is vital. Leaving your comfort zone, places that are familiar, things that you're customarily doing, things where people know you, being different. Let me use the word here. Doing something different, becoming different, living different. It takes you leaving where you are to follow the assignment, because the process that makes you your identity. It's the process that manifests your identity. It proves your calling. So when I begin to understand leaving my comfort zone, stretching my mind, stretching my emotions, stretching my feelings, stretching what I thought what it's going to look like. As Apostle said, God called him and God told him, he says, I'm going to do something great through you. And I'm going to do it right here in Darrow. Well, that's a shocking start, because Darrow was a dot on the map. Amen. You couldn't hardly find it. Probably even wasn't even on the map. But the idea was, God said, wherever I plant you, I will cause you to flourish. You have to be willing to go to the strange place, the unfamiliar place, the place where you're not known, to become known. Did not God say in Genesis chapter 12 to Abraham also that he's going to deal with his name? He would deal with his name and make his name great. So as Abraham followed God and get out of this comfort zone of familiarity, he said, the reason we must leave our comfort zone is that we must have nothing but God to fall back on. Wow. Wow. That's number six. The reason why we must leave our comfort zone to follow God, because we must have nothing else to fall back on. If we're going to tap into the wealth of heaven, wow, this is very important. Following God doesn't have a B plan. It only has an A plan. God never gives you a back door. The door is always in front of you. He gives you an open door. It's always in front of you. The way to fulfillment, the way to out, is to walk through the process. So walk through the process. I was sharing a reading I read years ago where this leader asked his warriors to go to fight with him or go to war with him. And this mighty army went to a strange country to fight. And as they went to fight, this strange country, getting to shore, some of the men became discouraged because the walls of the city were so big and so tall. And they said, well, they're impenetrable. And we're not going to be able to win this fight because we can't get over that wall. And so the leader said to the other soldiers, his captains, he says, burn all the ships. Burn all the ships, so there's no way back. You have to go forward. So God in many ways burned all our ships and says that he that put his hand to the plow and looking back is unfit. Let the dead bury the dead. You don't have time to look back. You've been called to go forward, to come into this wealth transfer mindset for the kingdom of heaven. Your church, the mission of God, depends on you developing your gift, your skills, to fulfill the assignment of God. It depends on you to go forward, that iron sharpens iron. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16, talking about each joint supply the other. In order for us to move the kingdom, our assignment, then each one of us must do our due diligence to fulfill our call and our purpose and our assignment. Being wealthy is a part of your assignment. Having more than enough is a part of your assignment. You've been called to be rich. You was born to be rich. So don't let nobody talk you out of prosperity. Let nobody talk you out of having plenty of money. Wearing the best, eating the best, living the best, riding the best, and giving your best all the time. Building cities for the kingdom of God. God said, through prosperity, I'll build my cities. My cities shall be built through prosperity. God is raising up a generation and a culture as yourself, setting call to the fivefold gifts, setting up under the fivefold gifts ministry to empower people's lives and bring change in cultures. And we have to have wealth to do it. So you're giving in your financial support to your local church and your local pastor. Let nobody talk you out of, you're giving all that money to that man and y'all crazy. You know, people say all kind of things, but they're giving money every day to stuff that does not even profit them, benefit them, nor have a return. That's ignorant. But you know why you're giving. You have a purpose on your giving. And your giving covenant is that when we give and obey God and we sacrifice, God promises us a 30, 60, and 100-fold return on our giving. So money has a purpose in the kingdom of God. And God wants you to have plenty of it. And I'm excited about it. It's your turn to understand why God wants you to have plenty of money. And to use that money and that wealth to support the work of God. To give to those God tell you to give to. Then maybe those in the grocery line when you're there in the store that God tell you, pay for that. That may be the homeless person on the road that God said, give, give. Be led, be inspired. There may be charitable works that's going on. The hospitals and different things that are going on, God may tell you to contribute to those things. The work in your local church, building a new building, supporting the mission fields, or whatever God is telling you to do with the local church, you're giving to that at a high level and a consistent level is vital. Because when we sow, we're also operating in harvest. Those who sow cannot help but reap a harvest. It's the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. I want you to be encouraged. These six things that we've talked about thus far, keep that in your spirit. The reason why God wants us to go forward and doesn't give us a B plan, doesn't give us a back door, because if we're going to tap into the wealth of heaven, then we must go forward. We must follow our identity. We must follow the assignment. I want you to know, Apostle teaches in his book, Never Being Broke Another Day in Your Life, that you're not broke. You have a seed. He talks about things and declare those things over our life. Not only as a message, but as a reality. Coming from nothing or broke to becoming a multi-millionaire. To have fulfilled the assignment of God. All of these things become a reality because your assignment is connected to his assignment. And when we learn to water others, we water ourselves. That's the thing. See, no man would trust you with your own until you're willing to become a steward of that which belongs to another. The Bible says if we have been faithful that which belongs to another, then we'll be trusted with our own. This is where it comes from. The first thing of a steward is to be faithful. You have to be faithful and mention that which belongs to that which is entrusted to you. These are things that you learn in the process that I'm sharing with you, because we're getting to get ready to go into a deeper level of understanding the wealth process. But these are the foundation truths that you must become solid in, sound in, because if not, when the tests come, when the hecklers come, when the naysayers come, and those people familiar with your family members try to talk you out of it and telling you you're crazy, you lost your mind, you don't need to be doing that, this is where you're going to bail out if you're not solid. If you're not solid. For the enemy cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's where you understand that attack is going to come from within yourself as well as from without you. You must be convinced and totally persuaded that this is my assignment, this is my calling, this is what God has called me to do. And until next time, underline those six things, and we'll see you real soon. God bless you.